Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future Know Dad 24.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
All right. So let's get into recruiting, man.
Teed you up, man.
All right. But let's do this before we talk to Peach about this. Well, we're going to let Peach get out of this. So we lost the defensive tackle. Love it. He's going to end up going to Ole Miss, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Probably.
Okay. And we don't seem like we're making any movement with offensive tackle in the transfer portal.
There's the kid from Houston, if I'm not mistaken, that
Jarrett Williams, right?
I would put Florida State as the front runner to land him.
Okay. What? So overall, Paige,
wait a minute,
where are we
wait
at?
A minute.
Paige?
Hold on, we got to pause.
Where are
we at? Paige, I'm going to chat. So, I just want to make the positions clear. So, if Florida State, you believe, is the front runner, if they don't get them, I can feel some type of way about it.
Okay, let me get this clear. The experts think he's going to go to Florida State. Now, that could mean one of two things. The Florida State side really wants him, and they're sold on him, and they think they're going to get him. Or experts could be thinking that because he really wants to go to Florida State. And maybe Florida State wants to go in another direction. If he doesn't come to Florida State and we don't get any transfer offensive tackles, I would feel some type of way about it. But if he doesn't come to Florida State and we get a different transfer, maybe one that's maybe a little better at the position, then I wouldn't worry about it. But yeah, if we don't get any transfer tackles and he ends up going to Miami, for example, who's also involved in his recruitment, yes, I would be disturbed by that. But I would put FSU. I'm not super familiar with his recruitment, so I don't really know too much. But I would, from the little that I know, I would, if I had to guess, gun to my head, I would take Florida State. I don't have a lot of confidence in that, though. I don't really know too much about his recruitment.
So what do you think? How do you think we're doing in recruiting? I don't want to, because I don't want to be negative Nancy. So I'm a,
yeah. I think we're doing. My word would be quote unquote all right. We're doing all right. The virus made shit really weird, to be honest with you, because the staff was putting off visits until practice because they wanted to show the recruits this is how we're they wanted to show recruits tangible results in practice. This is what we're doing, like this is where you fit in. Norvell's favorite statement is we run a system built for playmakers. We want a program built for playmakers. So he shows them, you know, they were saving all their visits for spring practice. There's a lot of kids who have visits planned for spring practice. So the virus complicated things. We are seeing a slight trend, and it's really only happened with a couple of schools, of kids kind of get reserving their space with a school that will take them now. And I think Florida State, I think Mike Norvell is one of those guys who he subscribes more to the idea of, well, I want to make sure like you really want to be here, and this isn't just like you reserve in a spot and then you jump ship in December when Alabama, a spot opens up at Bama, Georgia, Clemson, LSU, Oklahoma, Ohio State, you know,
right.
Which I actually would agree with him on that. I think that's a more sustainable approach because then you also don't here's the other thing. Mike Norvell has no ties to Florida, and if Florida's a tricky state to recruit because it's it has a reputation of being one of the dirtiest states in recruiting. Like Florida kids get bags. They're known to be bag chasers to a higher degree than other states, especially kids in South Florida. And the South Florida recruitments have always just they're one way on Tuesday, and then they're a totally different way on Friday. If you know what I mean, they're just very flip floppy.
Right.
I don't think he wants to take a kid he isn't actually sure he wants to sign, just to take the commitment. So I think he's a very patient. He's being very patient with that, which I can appreciate. Now I don't know which way I would do it. I don't know if you try to put all your eggs in one basket and get some momentum now, and then when we come out of this and we're able to have visits, that momentum could carry over. That could happen. That could, like, for example, Tennessee, that could happen. I think Tennessee, a combination of money and taking them, just fuck it. Like, you haven't visited. Like, maybe we haven't done our due diligence on you. Maybe there's a kid better than you that if we get him, we're going to have to drop you. And then we piss off your high school, and maybe that keeps us from getting in your high school for 2 or 3 years. And that could happen to Tennessee, but also Tennessee, everything could align perfectly, and it could just create a bunch of momentum.
Let me ask you a question. Hold on real quick. I'm going to let you finish that point. Sam, which one do you think is the better approach? Because I do think that's a good point, right? When you talk about the two different styles of it, do you want to build a momentum now like Tennessee is, grabbing a whole bunch of guys? And I hate to use Tennessee because I think they're cheating. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to get a whole bunch of you want to try to build up a bunch of momentum, get recruits, even though they haven't seen school, been seen or practice anything, and risk losing them later? Or do you want to do the wait and see approach and maybe, I guess, either not offer or miss out on some guys who go on some other place and then say, well, we got time. They ain't signed until, you know, a year from now. So let's just wait and see. And then kind of, see if we can maybe flip them later once we get a chance.
Pete, you want to answer it first? Cause
I will. I think it depends on the circumstance of the school you're at. I think if you're at a school like Ole Miss or at a school like Tennessee who hasn't been any good for 22 years, well, they were pretty good in the early 2000s, so like 15 years. I think you say, fuck it, let's go all in. It's a gamble. What Tennessee's doing or Ole Miss did 5, 6 years ago, it's a gamble. And usually those situations aren't as long lasting. The only time I've actually seen it like have any long term, like really work and have some longevity to it was Bama with Saban. But Nick Saban had a national championship ring, so that's a little like Nick Saban's an all time great recruiter. So kids were also willing the kids actually also wanted to be there and bought into it. Differently than like a Jeremy Pruitt, his first head coaching job. I think the better approach for where Florida State is as a program with who they have as a head coach, I think the approach that North Elm is taking is the right approach for a few reasons. One, he knows I think he's a pretty shrewd guy. Everything I hear about North Elm is people say, oh, that's one of the smartest minds I've ever been around. He knows that Florida State's not going to fire him after. He knows he's got 4 or 5 years here. He knows that because he knows he's going to be able to go. The schedule's not tough. The expectations are lowered. And I think he trusts himself at least to go like 7-5, 8-4 consistently. So he has that. There's no rush. Jeremy Pruitt is going into year 3. And if he fucks up, he loses his job. Whereas Norvell, I think, is a little bit more secure in his job. So there's that point. There's also the point of Florida State's a bigger brand, so we don't really have to sell out to do that. Like, it'll come. We just have to – I really do believe we show improvement. Like, I think an 8-4 season with – and a lot of it depends on, like, the actual product when watching the game. Florida State's 5-7 – or Florida State went 6-7 this past year, and the product of that 6-6 regular season was really, really bad. And it wasn't really sellable because 5 years ago, Florida State, we're trending down, whereas Tennessee's also trending up. They are. They went 8-5 or whatever, but that is actually trending up with Florida State. But our stock has been falling. But we have the – anyways, I think I kind of got on a tangent there. But I think Norvell's banking on, well, the product is going to look better, which I really think it does. It will for a lot of reasons. One, the defense. I think it's going to be pretty good. I really do. I think there's a lot of talent on defense. And I think I believe in our defensive coordinator. You guys might not, but I do. I also think the offensive line, I don't think it's going to be good. I don't think it's going to be average, but I do think it will be better. But still bad, but it will be better. He's got some playmakers coming. Like he's got, you know, whatever. I think the product, in general, what I'm trying to say is I think the product on the field is going to be easier to sell. And he's banking on a top 15 class. I think if we go 8-4, we sign like a, at worst, like a 15-14 overall class, which isn't good. And you don't win national championships with that. But what that does give you is that's actually a talent influx from what we've had signed in the last three classes. So 2018 class is ranked 11, but we've lost. There's been attrition to half that class. Half that class has been wiped out by transfers and injuries. So yeah, I do think the approach that Norvell's taking is the right approach. But we're actually in it for more big time kids than you think. We're not going to land. We'll maybe land one out of, we're in it for probably about 30 big time kids. We'll maybe land two of them. 2 to 3 of them. All it takes is 8-4 and a good visit, the right visit. Let's say we beat, I don't know, what's the best home game on the schedule that's winnable? I don't know, maybe
Miami.
Miami's away. Miami's away this year.
Is it? I thought it was
here.
Yeah.
No, we got.
Oh, you know what? You're right. That's what Willie got fired after that game. It was at home. I was at the game. You're right.
Florida.
We're not going to be Florida.
No, I think we actually would have a chance to upset Florida with the right, like,
if that defense is what we think.
Not momentum, but with the right, like, the right circumstances and kind of quote unquote luck. The thing about the Florida game is that's the last game of the year. Heading into the 2018 season and Willie and Dan's first year, Florida fans are like, we're not going to beat Florida State this year because we had beat them five, six, I don't know how many times in a row up to that point. And they didn't think they would beat us. The landscape of college football always changes like by the beginning of October. At that point, maybe the team believes in themselves. Maybe we're walking into Florida like 9-2. You know, we've lost to Clemson and like Boise or something. I don't think that's impossible. I think it's unlikely, but I don't think it's impossible. And on the other side of that same coin, maybe Florida has an injury at quarterback or a really bad injury like defensive season, or just is not very good. Like I don't think that's likely, but I think like Florida maybe has a drop off next year. They've lost a lot on their offensive line.
Let's go back to this the recruiting thing. I want to
okay.
So my thing would be is. Letting grad transfers, you can evaluate those guys watching tape. You know what I'm saying? Especially if they play any amount of minutes or whatever. You can kind of evaluate those guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think my thing is I think that he needs to get two grad transfer tackles in so that way you can raise the floor of the season, right? Because if you get two grad transfer tackles in, because I think at the guard positions you're going to be fine. The guard center position, I think you're fine. Like I really believe that. I think you might be above average at the guard and center position. I really do believe that. And I know people don't like Bavion Johnson, but to me, Bavion wasn't quite as bad as people think he was. I just my opinion. I think Dante Lucas. I think if you could put Dante Lucas with Bavion Johnson and maybe like a Brady Scott or Ira Henry, that three or Baselli at center and put Bavion at guard with Dante Lucas, I think you could be fine at guard and center position in the middle. But I think the problem comes in where we got one tight end and neither one of the tight ends that we have currently are blockers, right? They're not guy that you can in line and help with the help a tackle out with, right? And in Norvell's system, he likes to use the H back, right? And then he likes to kind of use his tight end to kind of kind of dictate coverage and get free yards with. So the tackles are gonna kind of be left on the islands at times. So I think are they being aggressive trying to get offensive tackles? Yes. But they're not closing them. And I don't understand that part. That, to me, I don't, and then I don't want to judge it too early, because teams are finna start coming back for training, and guys are gonna start cutting dead weight off their roster, and guys are gonna leave the roster because this guy's gonna get the start. So he still has time. But I think what the virus really messed up was that second wave of guys coming into the transfer market before the season. That's where I think the virus really affects Norvell, in my opinion.
I think he actually had a great get on one of the – I think – I can't remember his name, but the kid from FIU.
Yeah, but that guy's look like more like a guard, though. He looks more like a guard. And I think he's going to be a guard. Like, I think that's the type of guy that you bring in a program and you put him at guard, and if a tackle gets hurt, you swank him out to tackle.
He may have to play tackle, though. But there wasn't a whole lot of grad transfer tackles.
Well, I seen a couple of them on the list.
And there was the one from Colorado State that went to TCU. That was a whiff. I mean, I don't know how much they pursued him, but I would have thought that. I wish you would have got the kid that went from Colorado State to I can't remember his name, but he went to TCU. And then the kid that transferred from I want to say he came from Texas and he went to Florida. That one stinks too. Georgia Tech to Texas or something like that.
My question is, how do they keep missing on these guys? Like, with our line being where everybody knows it's got to be open. That everybody knows Florida State needs tackles. You come in, you play tomorrow. Like, you are the starter. You come in today. If you got any level of experience at all, how do they continue to miss on guys? I guess that's been my question from the beginning. I wouldn't think they should struggle the way they are to get offensive linemen, period, but especially tackles. Right now, they should be able to get any tackle they want, any tackle they need at any point in time. But the fact that they can't, like, I don't know. Like I said, I keep trying to figure out what is it about the program, what is it about the recruiter, what is it about everything at this point. I mean, because I think at this point they've missed on so many of them, it's hard for me to think like it's not, you know, a bigger issue. Why can't they continue? Why can't they produce one good tackle, you know, transfer? Especially when you know they got a serious need. Like, I'm assuming those other programs also had needs. Florida's need ain't nearly as significant as Florida State's need at offensive line. So how can they, you know what I mean? So how can they can only get a guy from FIU versus the guy from Colorado State or the guy from Texas who ends up, you know what I mean? Like, how can Florida get these guys but Florida State can't
when their need is far greater? I have one counter to that. Is when you put – so the kid that transferred from Texas to Florida, he's going to start from Florida this year, and the kid that transferred from Colorado State to TCU is going to start for TCU this year, and both those kids would have started at Florida State. The one thing you do is put on the offensive line tape from Florida, TCU, and FSU and watch their offensive line body of work over the past 2 years, and then ask those kids, all right, you're playing on this offensive line, which one do you think is going to get you to the NFL?
Isn't that what happens with the new coach, right? You get the recruiting bump because they don't know anything. They buying in on all the hope and possibility of being a much better. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go based on that. I mean, again, if I'm a recruit, that's what I'm selling. Forget the last tape. It don't matter. Look at what Nick, this is what I got my track record of. This is the linemen that I put in the NFL, and these are the guys who I train. This is what I'm great at, so believe in me. Even though you haven't seen it, I thought that's why you get the bump.
That is, but I think that happens more with high school kids. I think a kid who has 1 year left, he's got 1 year to do it. A high school kid's got 3 to 4 to 5 years to do that. A kid grad transferring, especially one, is a little smarter. So you're not going to recruit him based off emotion. It's going to be based a lot more off like tangible evidence. And like, he's got 1 year to get to the league. So I think the decision is a little bit – what goes into that decision-making process is much more business-oriented.
That's a good point. Very good point.
That is a good point.
That's what I think they actually struggle at that position specifically to get grad transfers, because the kid's thinking, I got a year, maybe 2 years, to get to the NFL. And this offensive line has been horrible. Offensive line has been very, like, pretty bad for a long time. Like, it was pretty bad before, like, when Jimbo was here for the most part. Like, it was bad in 2016. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't very good. Our offensive line, it's something about it, of course. I don't know what it is. I'm glad that it's on the forefront of everybody's minds, because I think the offensive line is the most important unit, that and the defensive line, the two most important units on the field. I know you're a linebacker, Brandon. I don't mean any disrespect. I love linebackers, but I think you need a great defensive line to open up some holes. Although I've been disappointed with our linebacker play too, but that's a whole other tangent. I think, I don't know. The kid from FIU was sought after, so I have to give him credit for getting that kid. He projects as a guard, but because of our need, he probably will play right tackle.
Yeah, he probably will. Well, he's going to have to.
Yeah, I think he'll be serviceable. Yeah. Will you go watch? Have you guys watched the tape against Rousseau from Miami, who at this point people put in the top five in every mock draft I see? He
right.
Played very well against Rousseau one-on-one all day. He played tackle with FIU. Another point I want to make is I've read this, and I don't know this. I'm not in Tallahassee. No one's told me this that I like have a great relationship with, but a constant buzz that I hear is that the staff and Alex Atkins, they like Darius Washington. And I think Darius Washington has the longest arms I've ever seen on a 6'4 offensive. Now, he's only 6'4, but his arms are so freaking long that I think he can play left tackle. I think we actually got more to work with on the offensive line than people think. We need one more grad transfer. I hope we get it. I think we will. There's also going to be the wave of I think the transfer process got messed up for everybody, though, not just Florida State. The timeline of everything is weird right now for everybody. Everyone's kind of learning as they go. High school, JUCO, grad transfer. The timeline just got messed up because a grad transfer especially is going to want to come and see practice, because that's a plug and play player. So he's literally looking at like, oh, those are the four guys I'm going to be playing with. Whereas a high school kid, he's not going to be playing with those. You know, he's not going to be playing with those guys. He's more so watching like the unit and how the coach is. But a grad transfer is like, okay, I'm going to be playing next to this guy. How does this guy complement my game? That's going to make it tough. The kids can't visit. They can't, you know. We'll see. They still got time to get one. I think hopefully we get the kid from Houston. He's not bad. He's a serviceable player. He's probably not an NFL player. He might be a practice squad player. He might have like a 1 or 2 year NFL career at best. But he's enough to where we can field it. Like, our offensive line has been horrible for 2 years, like just flat out horrible. So just get me to bad and I'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't want them to get to a situation where we're one injury away from going 5-7 or 6-6. Yeah. That's where I don't want to get at. I don't want to be at that point where we're injury here and injury there, then we're screwed, because injuries happen.
Yeah, that's scary. Chaz Neal can be a backup. I don't think he's a starter. I think he's a serviceable backup. I think Ira Henry, you could put him at right tackle if you really needed to. As far as your tight end point, I think they're going to use Jalen Goss in that kind of blocking tight end role, H-back role.
Jalen who? You talking about that little vegetarian?
Yeah, as a blocker, he's probably about 255, 260. That's a better blocker than Cameron McDonald.
I guess it gives it away, though. If you know what I mean? If he's in the game, not as a pass, because every time he's all right. You know what I mean? If he's in the game, then I know we're running, because he's no threat whatsoever to make a play down the field. So at this point, all right, every time that sub comes in, if any coach worth a paycheck is going to realize, all right, listen, man, if he's in front of you, understand they probably running.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
He ain't going out for no passes. That's just my opinion.
As far as the rest of the recruiting goes, they've positioned themselves with certain kids at positions of need. If I was making my like five most wanted list for Florida State, I'm trying to think, who would I pick? I would definitely put in Amarius Mims. That'd probably be my number one most wanted player, just because I think he's the best tackle in the country. I would put him as the best tackle in the country. He's from Georgia. He'd be my number one most wanted, but he's also he's not coming to Florida State. He's just not. He's going to go to Alabama, Georgia, or Clemson. Another kid I put in, which I think they actually have a decent chance with, is Terrence Ferguson. He's a interior offensive lineman. I think he's, I want to say he's from like Southwest Georgia. I don't know who else he's considering. He's probably Georgia. I actually think he recently put out a top three that was Florida State, Alabama, and Georgia. We're probably not going to get him, but it is encouraging to see that's his top three. That's like an old fashioned top three. Alabama, Florida State, and Georgia. That is encouraging. Do we get him? Maybe. Maybe we do sell playing time. Georgia's loading up at offensive line. I'm not as familiar as what Alabama's doing. He's a top 50 kid nationally. Lee Hunter, he's an Auburn commit, and he's from 8 Mile, Alabama, which I believe is right outside of Auburn. That's a kid I think we actually like. If we have a good year, that's a kid we can position ourselves maybe to flip. And that's the best defensive tackle that we can get. He's not the best defensive tackle in the country, but that's the best one that we can get. There's a few kids that I think if we have a good year, like let's say we go 9-3, I think we can actually pull a kid like Xavier Story. He's a local kid. He's probably about 20 miles outside of Tallahassee. If we don't have, he in my opinion wants a reason to go to FSU, but he has at this point the kid they have to see it. We've been making false promises for too long. I don't think we get sorry if we go 6-7-5. We go 9-3.
We can't get kids out of Tallahassee, man.
I think we get the kid Amari Harvey. I think we get Amari Harvey. We've also been historically a lot of Tallahassee coaches have been disrespected by Florida State. We never offered Ronnie Harrison, who was a 5-star. Fuck with him because we had what? That was the same.
I ain't gonna get into the Ronnie Harrison same thing, but if Ronnie Harrison wanted to be at Florida State, he'd have been at Florida State. That whole conversation to me is just retarded because
five stars who wanted to come to Florida State, who Jimbo just did not reach out to, who was like, that was my dream school. I'm glad y'all finally reached out when he got there. So that story was heard a few times. I understand you may not be able to say it about him, but
The thing with Ronnie Williams was, if I recall at the time, Jimbo liked it for guys to work out. And Ronnie Williams didn't want to work out. So Jimbo didn't offer him.
Man, he a five star, like, man. He done worked out for enough people.
But I guess my point would be, if you're making Derwin James work out, maybe you got to make Ronnie Williams work out. Would I have took Ronnie Williams anyway? Yes. I would have. Yes, I would have. Especially if you got A.J. Brooks.
That's my point. You can't be throwing away good talent on principles at some point. I would say
it's because of culture reason, but we know Jimbo at the end didn't care about culture, so
didn't care.
Blame it on that.
I was gonna say that definitely not a culture thing.
There are some kids that I would consider top, like, blue chip type kids that, one, we have committed, now he's a legacy, so you can't really give that to Norvell, I think. I don't know. Brandon Jennings says that he wouldn't have come for Willie. I don't know. So I don't know. Disregard that. But there's kids that we lead for, like Destin Pazon, I think is how you pronounce his name. He's out of New Orleans. He's a wide receiver. He's really good. He's probably one of the top 10 wide receivers in the country.
They told him I got a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, I think they do pull him. I think they pull Pazon. I think that's because of David Johnson. I think David Johnson, if we get that commitment, you get him credit. Right.
That's the New Orleans collective. Who's the furniture pulling? Who's on the furniture list to pull this term?
I'm not doing it.
Shambray Jackson.
What's the likelihood we pull him? I'm sorry, what's the likelihood the furniture 10%. Pull him? Oh, man.
I think if you get Lee Hunter, I think you give more credit to Woodson than you do to Furniture.
So we can't even give the Furniture credit for that. Doggone.
I wouldn't. I think this really should be the Furniture last year. That's a whole other conversation. I think the best tight end, the best receiving tight end in the country is going to come to Florida State, which is a position of need, by the way. I think he's the best tight end in the country, and I think if we don't get Michael Trigg, he's from the Tampa area. I think he's from Lake Wales, I think that's in Polk County actually, but he goes to school in Sefner. I think he's the best pass catching tight end in the country. If you don't pick, if you miss on him, that's a whiff. I'll put that one right there, boy.
And it absolutely is a whiff because we know how Novell runs his offense. He uses his tight end. Absolutely. So I would think
and they're making
a pass catching tight end would absolutely want to come to Florida State.
They're making him a priority, and I would put my confidence as high for him to go to FSU. I think we get Amari Harvey, who goes to the university school in Tallahassee. I don't think we get Terrion Arnold, the other safety from Tallahassee. It's Alabama. It's hard. I know he's from Tallahassee, but it's Alabama. I wouldn't consider that a whiff. I know it's in Tallahassee. I still wouldn't consider it a whiff. Amari, I would consider a whiff if we did not get Amari, because Amari's been a long-time FSU lean. Whereas Terrion has been, he has never really been an FSU lean. There's some kids that just want to leave the city. Like, and I can't blame him for that. Some people are wired, like, everyone's different. Everyone has different, like, you know, what they want to get out of college. Some kids need to get away from home. Like, kids want to get away from home from college. I can't really blame him for that. I think we can get a kid like Shombre Jackson if you don't get him. That's a defensive end. That's a top 250 player. That's a blue chipper. If you don't get him, that's a whiff. The kid Hunter Washington that we got, I want to say 2 weeks ago out of Texas, he gets, by the way, gets trained. His personal trainer and coach at DB is Antonio Cromartie, who is very critical of the last staff. So I do think it says something that we got a Cromartie kid, not blood, but a kid that Cromartie's trained out of Texas.
I was about to say, well, we about to have a run on Cromartie's, because I'm looking forward to that.
Then there's a few kids like Marquise Johnson. That's probably the best DT we get in this class. And that actually would be a kid you chalk up to furniture. He's good. Marquise Robinson is good. Now, he's from our backyard. He's from Milton, which I believe is in the 850. I believe it's about, 45 minutes from Tallahassee. So, that's a huge whiff if you don't get Marquise Robinson. Dink Jackson is a safety. It's a huge whiff if you don't give him. I don't know who his primary recruiter is. But Dean Jackson just released the top three of Florida State, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. I think him and Amari Harvey are the two safeties you get, and that's a good safety haul. I think something that people will be really impressed with lately is Andrew Jones. He's a linebacker and an inside linebacker out of Louisiana. I don't know what part of Louisiana. The David Johnson connection was a zero-star player when we offered. Georgia has offered, LSU has offered, I believe Tennessee has offered. He just released the top four. He's a kid that he's very appreciative of his early offers. And his top four are Florida State, Georgia, Houston, and Louisville. And it's a Florida State-Georgia battle. He's from Louisiana. I wouldn't be surprised if LSU gets in the mix, but I think he was disrespected by not getting that offer. But he got a huge bump in the rankings that came out today. He's like a top 150 player now. And then we got some two players I want to hit on. Kevin Knowles, who recently committed, I think yesterday, on Tuesday, the 19th of May, I believe. He's a three-star corner. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a big rankings bump. He was a Miami lean. Everyone thought he was going to go to Miami. He's from Hollywood, Florida. I got a good friend who's a big Miami fan, and he was swearing by this kid for like months, telling me this kid's gonna be good. This kid's good. This kid's good. He's a guy whose opinion I respect, by the way. I like Kevin Knowles. I watch his film. I like him. He kind of reminds me of the Honey Badger a little bit.
So he was comparing.
And it is, and he has. I don't know if he's physically there, but he plays like the Honey Badger. I really like his film, Kevin Knowles. K-N-O-W-L-E-S.
Yeah, I watched his some of his film on Twitter. I think like they had like a 2-minute clip, I think. And he comes with bad intentions. Like
When I was at UNC Charlotte, a coach told me, a DB coach actually, go watch the huddle and watch each individual play, and you'll really get, because huddle will break it down play by play. If they got a good coach, they'll have their entire, a coach who cares about their recruitment, they'll have their entire, they'll have every play up there pretty much. And you'll get a good idea about a kid. And I went and watched about 40 minutes of this kid just play by play. I really liked him. He was always, I don't know, I just really liked him. Another kid that's committed that I really like, and I will die on this hill, is Luke Altmyer. the quarterback commit from Mississippi, who's is a nice pull. That the Luke Altmyer pull is a nice pull. That kid's stock is he's constantly jumping in the rankings. I wouldn't be surprised if by the time the rankings are finalized, if he's like hovering around the top 100, he'll hover around top five wow. quarterback. I really wouldn't. His stock is rising similarly, kind of to how Sam Howell did. He's a gunslinger. Go watch his tape. The thing that's impressive about him is he had some real offers and some real interest from Georgia, LSU. His dad's on the staff at Mississippi State. He's front, he goes to Starkville High School in Starkville, Mississippi. He's going to be hard to hold on to. People are going to, especially if we struggle, come for him. You can all, especially at quarterback. Quarterback's, I think, the most inaccurate position, that and offensive line, that the big sites rank. They don't rank quarterbacks well. But, yeah, Luke Altmyer was a big pull, and I think that kid has the potential to be really, really good. So I'm hoping we hold on to him. That's a kid I swear by. But, I mean, I think you asked me the original question was, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to ask you. Who do you think is our biggest threat for Altmyer? If you think it's going to be a struggle to hold on to him if we don't have a great season, who do you feel would be our biggest threat? If I guess if they have LSU and Georgia offers, I would guess Georgia.
LSU, I think Georgia, since we took this kid's commitment, Georgia got a kid who's actually, I would say, probably better maybe, Vandergriff. Mm-hmm. At the time Vandergriff was committed to Oklahoma, and Vandergriff's probably the best quarterback in the country.
Gotcha. Okay.
According to the rankings. But so Georgia, I wouldn't consider a threat anymore, but they were after him. They were actively recruiting him. LSU, I think it depends. I don't know. LSU, maybe they, I mean, I wasn't saying that LSU and Georgia were recruiting just him. They were recruited. He was part of their four or five guys they were evaluating after and constantly in contact with. I think the biggest threat, honestly, would be Ole Miss. His dad actually is not on the staff at Mississippi State. His dad was on the last staff at Mississippi State. So his dad's not at Mississippi State anymore. Or unless I don't know if he was carried over from the previous staff or not, but if his dad's no longer at Mississippi State, I would say Lane Kiffin, the in-state school. Mississippi is a hard state to pull kids out of. It is. It's a really hard state to get kids out of, unless you're a neighbor. Alabama and LSU do it. Those are bordering states, and those are two, like, premier programs right now. Alabama could be a threat for this kid, actually. I would say Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee. It's going to be an SEC school, if not FSU, for this kid. And there's going to be somebody. There's going to be somebody with – a nice situation that's going to want him, especially if we struggle. I wouldn't be surprised if he flipped. But I think he's really good. I swear by Altmyer. I'm a huge Altmyer. I like him better than Chubba Purdy and Rodemaker.
Wow. So then I guess my question is then, so if – I think we all went into the idea of Rodemaker being the starter this season as a true freshman. Then, if you do get Altmyer, does he come in and unseat a true freshman starter?
It depends. I actually think I read today that we are probably going to get
Rodemaker. Who are we talking about? Chubba Purdy.
Purdy. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, I think Purdy will be the starter, and I think it depends how well Purdy does. I think another thing that could chase Altmyer off is if Purdy comes in and lights it up as a freshman. Right. And I like Purdy too. I just really like Altmyer. But if Purdy comes in and lights it up as a freshman and proves me and proves other people wrong and has a really good year, yeah, Altmyer might flip. But if that's the case, fuck it. That's a good problem to have. And maybe he doesn't flip. Who knows? You're on the Norvell side. You're always taking a quarterback, which I've liked about Norvell.
I think he does a good job of getting on quarterbacks early and getting them to commit. I got to give him that. That's really impressive because the last guy really wasn't that good at that for some reason. I don't know.
I guess
Don't know what he was thinking there. That was weird.
I guess like my final thoughts on Norvell. My final thoughts on Norvell's recruiting would be, I'm not panicking yet. Don't panic yet is what I would say. Like, games, bottom line, no matter who the coach is, we've been bad enough for so long that games have to be played. There's not much to sell right now, and especially with a global pandemic, you can't even get kids to come watch you practice. You can't even practice. I wouldn't panic yet on Norvell. Maybe the virus dooms him, but I'm not worried about it. I think bottom line, games have to be played, and if games are played and games are won enough, the recruiting will sort itself out eventually. It might take longer. We might not be in the national spotlight for another few years, but I think we have enough to get there. I really do.
It flips fast though, man. Because we were saying the same thing about Florida 2 years ago. It flips fast. It's really, like I say, it's all about getting that quarterback. Quarterback.
If we win on how Florida did in their first 2 years, which I don't think we will, but if we do in Dan's first 2 years, we will recruit better than what Florida's doing. And Florida's not recruiting bad. They're just, I don't think they're recruiting as well as they should be. But they're recruiting better than we are. They also have twice the product that we have. So if we can win a little bit less than Florida has, we'll recruit better than them. I guarantee that. I really do guarantee that. Especially if we can get some new furniture in the D-line room.
All right, man. Let's wrap right there. That was a lot. Okay. I think I'm gonna cut that into two parts right there because we like it.
Okay, that was long winded. I'm sorry.
No, man. You good?
No. Please, don't apologize for that. That's very good information. Things a lot of people. You talked about a lot of different recruits and a lot of things that people. I'm sure gonna look up some of these players and so. That's good information.
Yeah, so we're right there, man. I appreciate everybody coming on. Make sure you rate, subscribe, review, get all that done, and share the podcast, man. If you see it on your timeline, just retweet it one time. So I appreciate y'all boys coming on, man.
Yeah, man, thank you for having
me. Yeah, ain't no problem. We out. I'm going